Welcome to our morning's worship service here at St. Mellon's Baptist Church, here in the city of Cardiff. We're here to worship the living God. We rejoice with the news that our brothers and sisters in England and other parts of the UK are able to begin to meet back together in their churches and chapel buildings. Here in Wales, we still await announcements from the Assembly. We pray for them, and we pray and long for the day when we can meet physically together in the building again. But let's not belittle what we're able to do this morning. We're in the moment together. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. I'm here preaching the Word of God. We're all together under this same Word of God. You're in your homes, perhaps as an individual, a couple with children, a wider family. Maybe two families have got together today, as we're permitted to do. We're here to worship the living God. Here's the word being preached. We'll sing hymns together. We're worshiping Him, fellowship with the Father, through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship together. Let's look to meet together at 12 o'clock on Zoom to see each other. Bring the children on board as well. There'll be breakout rooms. It's good to fellowship together and strengthen those ties that bind our hearts in Christian love. Let's begin to worship Almighty God together with this great hymn of Charles Wesley's, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Jesus is the joy of heaven, to earth come down. Let's sing this hymn to the glory of God together. Great hymn there by Charles Wesley, written in a time of vibrant revival in Britain and many parts of the world, that Jesus Christ is the joy of heaven. And he's come down to this planet. He's fixed his humble home in our hearts. And if anyone ought to be joyful, it is the Christian, the one who knows his sins have been forgiven. He has peace with God, and heaven is our destination. Come, Almighty, to deliver, suddenly return, and nevermore thy temples leave. Here and now changes from one degree of glory into another. And it's our prayer together, as we're under the word of God in the power of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit might do his unique work this morning, and as believers, changes from glory into glory. And anybody listening who's not yet sure that they are glory bound through the work of the Son of God, may the Holy Spirit do a wonderful work in your life this morning to have that blessed assurance of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, children, a few words to you. Every day when I get up, I use one of these. And if I turn it round, you'll see what it is. It's a mirror. And when you look into a mirror, it tells you what you are like. And I'm having a look now. And a mirror tells us what we're like on the outside. And as we see what we're like on the outside, we're able to think, I think my hair needs a little bit rearranging. Let's just comb it around here. The mirror's telling me my hair is out of place. When I look in the mirror, I seem to have a full head of hair. Apparently, some people tell me I'm thinning on the top here. A little bit of a hole here, but I can't see in this mirror because it's on the back of my head. Do you think, children, there's a little bit of a hole coming in my head? If I had a mirror behind me, I'd see it maybe. Maybe the mirror tells me there's a dirty patch on my nose. So if it did that, I would find a cloth and some soap, and I'd get the soap and I'd rub the cloth on the dirty mark. And when I'd done that, I would check again in the mirror and say, oh yes, the dirty mark has gone. So a mirror shows me what I'm like on the outside. The Bible is like a mirror. But it doesn't show me what I'm like on the outside. It shows me what I'm really like on the inside. And as I read God's word, it does two wonderful things. First of all, it shows me that on the inside, I'm not clean. There is sin there. The Bible tells me I am self-centered. I think about me and myself. I want my way. This is what I think. This is what I want to do. That's for me. It's not yours. And sin is all about looking to myself, being selfish and self-centered. It means I can't know God. It means I can't go home to heaven. So the Bible's like a mirror that shows me the dirt and the uncleanness and the sin that's in my life. But the Bible does something else that no ordinary mirror can do. It shows me the answer to the mess and the sin, the selfishness in my life. What can wash away my sin and bring me back to God? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves us so much. He sent his Son into the world who became a man. He lived a clean life for us. His heart was pure. Then he died on Calvary and he rose again. The life he lived for you and me. The death he died for our sins. He rose again to prove it's all true. And what must you do? If you see a dirty mark on your nose in a mirror, you wash it off. When you see the stain of sin in your heart through the Bible, you turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to wash away your sin. Children, have you done that? Adults, have you done that? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting Jesus with your soul this hour? Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Or be washed in the blood of the Lamb?" Now then, we're going to read the passage for this morning. We're in Luke chapter 2, and the verses in particular this morning are verses 33 and 35 to 35, but I'll read from verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God, saying, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel.' And his father and mother marveled what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed.'" Amen. May God bless his word to us, give us understanding, and help us not only to see, but to respond to what the Spirit reveals to us through his wonderful word. A few things to announce in the for today and the coming week. Again, after this morning's service, fellowship together on Zoom from 12 o'clock to about 12:30 with breakout rooms in smaller groups. Please do make every effort to join there. Bring your children as well. I was saying to the YPF on Friday night, it would be great to see you. The older folks in the church long to see you as well. Do join us for a time of fellowship at 12 o'clock. And this week in particular, I had an email from Beck Jones in Uganda this morning, and she said, "Could I have time to say a few words to the folks on Zoom in the Zoom fellowship after the morning service?" So Becca and Erica and Ruthie will join us, and at 12:05, they're going to say a few words of thanks to God and to us as a fellowship for our support in these recent days for them as a family. So do join us. It'll be great to see Becca and Erica and Ruthie. It's the same Zoom code as in previous weeks, and perhaps Nick will send it out again, possibly before the service. Does it go out on, is it a text that you send, or? It will. Okay, thank you, Nick. So that's 12 o'clock this afternoon. Part two of my addresses to the Ballet Ministers Conference will be online. And the title of this week's is Preaching the Cross of Christ, and the emphasis on this, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That will be online from about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Then at 8 o'clock over the weeks, quite a small group of us have met on Zoom again, and I've sent out the Zoom code for that. It will be the same each week again. It's a time to reflect on recent ministry that we've received as a church, Sundays and maybe midweeks as well, to ask questions and to discuss the Word of God and the things of God together. So do join us if you can. If you've got the children in bed, take the opportunity to join us, get a cup of coffee, and for 45 minutes or so, we can talk and pray together. Then the usual meetings through the week on Zoom, Tuesday, the morning prayer meeting from 11 o'clock, and then on Wednesday, it's home groups this week, various venues, various times on Wednesday evening. Again, do join us for that time to pray together as a church and seek the Lord's presence and his guidance. Friday, the YPF meet again, 7:45 on Zoom. And this week, we're looking at the apologetics question, what is the age of the earth? How old is planet Earth? So YPF, Friday, 7:45. this Saturday at 9 a.m. It's the men's breakfast. Now, I was hearing about the ladies' breakfast yesterday morning, a lovely time they had, and they discussed a couple of questions. What have we learnt from our time in lockdown? What is God teaching us? What has been good and what has been difficult about lockdown? What are we learning as individuals and as a church? And we're going to do the same with the men on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So men, pull out the stops. Please look to try and be there. We'll have fellowship together, see each other, and be prepared to share the things that you've learned personally and that we're learning as a church, what we'd like to keep and what we'd like to do better as individuals and as a church, and time to pray together. So husbands, single men, young people, please be there Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Now, I think that's all I need to say apart from one special announcement. There's a special birthday this Wednesday for Arwen Rees. I won't give her exact age, but it ends in a zero, so I think she might be 60 this coming Wednesday. So very happy birthday to you, Arwen, for Wednesday, and may you and Gareth know a rich time of blessing on that wonderful occasion. Now let's turn together to the Lord in prayer. Let's all bow and let's pray together. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth, come down. Father, it is an amazing thing, a wondrous thing, a wonderful thing, an almighty, incredible, remarkable thing that you should love the dust of the earth and sinful dust. At that, we who fell in Adam, we'd have done the same things ourselves in the Garden of Eden. We who rebelled and sinned so badly and gone so far astray deserve nothing but your wrath. But we find, it's revealed in the Bible, that even before we fell, the triune God had counseled forth the way for us to be redeemed, saved, restored to fellowship. We thank you for the gospel planned in eternity past, announced at the very point of the fall, unfolding throughout the Old Testament in prophecies and figures and shadows and types. We thank you for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, fulfilling all those shadows and types and prophecies. We thank you for the work of the law of God in our hearts, those Ten Commandments that show us our size. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ revealing the depths of the law, that it's not just what we do, it's the intention of the heart. And we thank you that your word is like a mirror into our souls, revealing our sin. But as well as revealing our sin, we thank you for the Saviour, Jesus Christ, who came to take away the sins of the whole world, of all who will act upon the glory of the gospel and repent of their sin towards God and trust in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Almighty, to deliver, we pray. Let us all thy grace receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Come to this temple of the gathered church, we will pray this morning. We deserve nothing of our own merit, but it's all of grace and mercy. Let us all thy grace receive. Some of us, Father, need to be saved. Oh, may that unique saving work of the Holy Spirit be done this morning. All of us need to be changed from glory into glory. None of us are yet the finished work. We thank you for the great pattern, our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray our desire would always be to aim to be like him. One day we thank you we will be like him, but meanwhile may we cooperate with the Spirit's work through the word to be indeed transformed into something beautiful for you, that the world might see the power of God in us, the transforming work of the Spirit in us, the joy of the Lord in us, and desire the things that we have by your grace, and come to the Saviour, and inquiring and asking that question, what must I do to be saved? And help us to be ready with that glad answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Father, thank you for what we're able to do this morning. We do long to be back together. Perhaps for too long we took for granted what it meant to be free to come to church. Help us to learn the lesson. We pray, Lord, we never take for granted again coming to a church building to worship God and to fellowship together. Oh, in your mercy, restore us. Thank you for brothers and sisters in England and other parts of the UK who are able to slowly begin meeting back together. We pray, Lord, for the time soon when we too will be able to gather together in some meaningful way in this building to worship the triune God, coming to the Father in the merits of the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, physically together here in the building. Give us wisdom as we move forward, we pray. We pray, Lord, we wouldn't be the same as before lockdown. Things wouldn't be done the same. We wouldn't be the same. But, Lord, we learn the lessons and live to your glory, we do pray. We commend each other to your care now. Pray for your blessing on the word. Pray, Lord, as we meet together on Zoom. Pray as Becca joins us with Erica and Ruthie, how we thank you for the news of the adoption. We praise you. We give you thanks. Lord, we ask much. We ought to give thanks much as well, to return thanks to you. Bring our prayers with thanksgiving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We do pray. Pray, Lord, you bless our time with them on Zoom very, very shortly now. So we commend each other to your care. Help us as we sing a further hymn to sing with all our hearts, to worship the living God, then to hang on your every word. What has God got to say to me this morning? Forgive us for our many sins, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, before we look into God's word together, let's sing another hymn. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. You opened my eyes. Let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here's my determination and yours too surely. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy. Now, can we say this? You're altogether wonderful to me. Let's sing this hymn together to the glory of God. are in Luke chapter 2, and we are looking at Simeon and the encounter that he has with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that Simeon was an ordinary man there in Jerusalem, and the kingdom of God will be filled with many ordinary people, just like you and I. Not many of noble birth, not many rich, not many powerful, but God chose the lowly things of this world to confound the wise and the proud. And Simeon was one such. He was believing the promises God had made in the Old Testament, and he was waiting with eager anticipation. And he'd been promised by a direct revelation from the Spirit that he wouldn't die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And going into the temple, directed by the Spirit, one day he saw. And the Spirit pointed out, "This is he." And Simeon didn't wait. He went and embraced the child. And then he spoke out, having seen and held and embraced the Lord's salvation. He spoke out. How could he but not speak out? A sure sign that I've been truly converted is that I have something to say. Something to say. Romans and chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 tell us this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that one believes and is justified, and with the mouth that one confesses and is saved. If I've truly been saved, I have something to say. I may be shy, I may be of a retiring disposition, but I long for the opportunities, and I ought to pray for the opportunities day by day to share something of the glory and the wonder of what God has done for me through his Son, Jesus Christ. On one occasion, the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin, and they were commanded not to speak any more about Jesus Christ. Here it is, Acts 4 and verse 18. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. But we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard." May God have mercy on you and I. May we be so constrained that we're praying for the opportunities and bursting out, we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. And what Simeon says is remarkable. "I'm ready to die. Now I am ready to die. My eyes have seen your anointed. I'm now ready to depart. I'm ready to die." Now I'd ask you a question, my friend. Since we all have to die, it's the one certainty ahead of us. It's the ultimate statistic. 100 out of every 100 die. We've had statistics day in and day out recently. So many have died, and here's the curve, and the curve is flattening. My friend, the ultimate curve never flattens. It is 100% total in every day and every way, every generation. Simeon said these remarkable words, "I'm ready now to die." Are you ready to die? Why is Simeon ready to die? "For my eyes have seen." "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all the peoples." This wasn't done in a corner. "Because I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm ready to die." My friend, have you seen him with the inner eyes? We talked about the mirror. It'll tell you what you're like on the outside, but only the mirror of God's word shows us what we're like on the inside. We're sinners before a holy God, and only Jesus Christ can cleanse you. Only him. It's not religion. It's not morality. It's not your good works. It's not all that you might say, I. It's him. It's Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Have you seen him, my friend? You cannot afford to die without him. Don't die without him. He's being offered to you again this morning as the only answer to your sin. Would you come to Jesus Christ? Oh, says Simeon, my eyes have seen your salvation, a light of revelation. Isaiah saw it. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. That's you and I. It's the world. The world's in darkness. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We just sung that very wonderful hymn, Light of the World. Jesus, you stepped down into darkness. You opened my eyes. Let me see beauty, such beauty that made my heart to adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ came into the world. He's God who became a man. He's not a half and a half. He's not a hybrid. He's one person. He's two natures. He's fully God. He's fully man. He came to live that clean, perfect, holy, beautiful life. He fulfilled the law. When the mirror of God's law was put up to his heart, God smiled. God smiled. There's nothing ugly there. It's altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. What a beautiful life he lived. He did it for you. He did it for me. And Simeon sees it and he rejoices. Now I can die in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. It's not all that Jesus did. He went then all the way to Calvary. And on the cross, he bore the burden of my sin. The wrath that would have sunk me to hell sank him to hell on the cross. Calvary was hell on earth. Will God judge sin? Yes, God does judge sin. He's judged it on Calvary, or he'll judge it in you. And in a sense, yours is the choice. Would you bear your own sin? But here's one willing to bear your sin for you. What an exchange. He lays down his life for the likes of you and me. He rose again from the dead. Death couldn't hold him. The resurrection proves he is who he claimed to be. Death is defeated. Sin is paid for. Heaven's door is opened wide. It's taken off the hinges. Hell has been sealed over. Not for everybody. Only for those who will take the remedy, repent towards God who we've offended, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour. Oh, Simeon makes these great declarations, and we looked at that in particular last Sunday morning. Now you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Well, we're going to move on now. In verse 33, we see the response of Joseph and Mary. And his father and his mother, now listen to this, marveled at what was said about him. They marveled. The word means they were filled with wonder at what Simeon was inspired by the Spirit to say about this, that little child in his mother's arms. Joseph and Mary marveled. They were filled with wonder at the things that Simeon was saying. There's a question here. Hadn't Joseph and Mary heard these things before? Well, yes, they had. They'd heard these things directly from an angel from heaven. Mary, the angel Gabriel, appearing to her. Joseph, the angel appeared to him in a dream and said wonderful things. They've had the shepherds rushing in and saying, we've seen the heavenly vision and angels told us the news. The Saviour has been born. They've heard these things before. But now when Simeon says them, maybe 40 days later, they're filled with wonder again and they marvel at the things that are being told them. They still marveled. I wonder, and here's a challenge to me and a challenge to you. Are these things still wonderful to you? My Christian believing friend, are these things still wonderful to you? Can you say with all your heart, and oh, we sing it, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 is my precious Lord to me. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Tell me the old, old story. Jesus, keep me near the cross. My friends, I say to myself, I say to you, let us never be content with less than wonderment. Let us never be content with anything less than wonderment. Christianity, true Christianity, is experimental in this way. I read it in the Word. I put it into practice in my life. Find that it works. There's a real assurance there. It's experimental in that sense. It's also experiential. True religion is more than notion. I can fill my head with all sorts of doctrine and truth. The Apostle Paul tells us, inspired by the Spirit, knowledge alone puffs up, but love divine. All love's excelling joy of heaven to earth come down when I allow this joy to invade my heart. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Experimental, true religion, experiential. More than notion. Something must be known. Yes, I must know it. I must know the word. But don't rest there. Something must be felt. It must be real. And in hearing this gospel this morning, am I lost in wonder, love, and praise? Is there a wonderment? Am I still in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I falling deeper in love with him day by day? Oh, Mary and Joseph, they marveled at what was said about him. Am I still marveling about him? I've only begun to scratch the surface of love divine, no matter how long I've been a Christian. Think of the wonder of the incarnation, that God would become a man. He would leave the glories of heaven. He, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Friday night with the YPF, we were looking at this question. Is it Big Bang that started the universe, or is it the master plan? Big Bang or master plan? Where has everything come from? And we had a little video that looked at something of the size of the universe, and it started with our moon and the size of the Earth and the size of Saturn and the size of Jupiter and the size of the Sun. And then it took us on to other suns in the galaxy, and Betelgeuse, much in the news at the moment. It's 70 light years away. It's one of the stars in Orion. I forget which, the top right or the top left in the Orion constellation, but Betelgeuse, it is so massive. If it were in our universe, it would stretch out to the orbit of Jupiter, and we go beyond that, and other stars bigger than Betelgeuse, and galaxies thousands of light years in diameter, and the universe billions of light years in diameter. And the creator of all this, light of the world, you step down into darkness. You became a man. Oh, imagine you and I becoming an ant to rescue ants. Would you become an ant to rescue an ant if the ants were in peril? Would you be willing, my human friend, to become an ant and to go into an ant's nest and have formic acid on your little antenna and buzz around and eat things and carry things and be an ant in an ant's nest and serve the queen ant just to rescue ants? You could speak to ants. You recoil from that, but a far greater depth was spanned. He became a man. Are we not lost in wonder, love, and praise? Oh, have I got a hymn book here? A hymn comes to my mind. It's a children's hymn, but it's a wonderful hymn. It is a thing. Let's never lose this. It is Mary and Joseph, they marveled. Am I still marveling? It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be. that God's own son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. And yet I know that it is true. He came to this poor world below and wept and toiled and mourned and died only because he loved us so. I cannot tell how he could love a child so weak and full of sin. His love must be most wonderful if he could die my love to win. Sometimes, maybe it's not enough. I should do this more often. I sometimes think about the cross and shut my eyes and try to see the cruel nails and crown of thorns and Jesus crucified for me. But even could I see him die, it would but be a little part of that great love which, like a fire, is always burning in his heart. It is most wonderful to know his love for me so free and sure. But 'tis more wonderful to see my love for him so faint and poor. And yet, I want to love thee, Lord. Here's a prayer we could pray this morning. Have I lost that edge? Have I fallen out of love with him? Shame on me. Shame on you. Shame on us. I'll tell you how we'll be able to tell. If you've fallen out of love with him, so things of this world that grow very, very big, and you become pretty grumpy about little things here and there that aren't quite right and in place, and that's not right, and I don't agree with this, and we shouldn't do it that way, we should do it this way. Does he not dominate my thinking? Has he not thrilled my heart? Am I not enthralled with him? Art Garfunkel sang, "Oh, the stars out tonight. I don't know if it's cloudy or bright. I only have eyes for you." He's singing about a woman, I guess, that he's fallen in love with. And because he's in love, he's not even aware of the weather. Or that we go, "Oh, aren't the stars? I don't know," says Art Garfunkel. "I only have eyes for you, for you." Yeah, are we singing the right hymns? Have we got a banjo or an organ? Is it the right colour? How many times do we meet on a do what you like, actually. I just love the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait for glory. I want to serve him. Let's pray a prayer. And yet I want to love thee, Lord. Oh, light the flame within my heart, that I will love thee more and more until I see thee as thou art. That our love wouldn't be a waning, fading thing, but will be a vibrant, growing thing. I forget what the moon does. It waxes and it wanes. I forget which way. I think wane, it decays. May our love wax and grow more and more. May we not know a waning. And if it's waning this morning, my friend, may we be lost in wonder, love, and praise again. May we be like Mary and Joseph as they hear from Simeon just a little more about the news. It refreshes their memories of what they'd heard from the angel and from the shepherds. Simeon says, "I've seen your salvation, and this is a light of revelation for the Gentiles." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Am I able to marvel this morning? Let's not try and deflect and think about other things. Let's focus on the one thing that's needful. I might have all sorts of abilities and gifts, but if I have not love for him, I am nothing. I might be able to preach the mightiest sermons, but if I have not love, I'm just like a clanging cymbal or a gong. I might possess all things, but in the end, I have nothing if I have not love. Nothing at all. Bernard of Clairvaux wrote this wonderful hymn, translated by Paul Gerhardt in the 17th century, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's hold here for a while this morning. Oh, speaking of Jesus, oh, sacred head, sore wounded, with grief and shame bowed down, how scornfully surrounded with thorns. Here he is, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Betelgeuse, nothing on him. The Orion Nebula, nothing on him. 19 light years in diameter, by the way, the Orion Nebula, nothing on him. Here he is crowned with thorns. How pale thou art with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? Thy grief and bitter passion were all for sinner's gain. How can I be deflected from this love? What have I got in this world? I have Jesus, I have everything. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than have riches untold. Thy grief and bitter passion were all for sinner's gain. Mine was the transgression, for thine the deadly pain. Lord, here I fall, my Saviour. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favour. Vouchsafe to me thy grace. But this verse here. Am I at this stage this morning? If not, may God have mercy on me and you, and may he draw us. Now, I've gone way off what I had in my notes to say this morning. I've been held on just page one, paragraph one. And so we're going to finish fairly soon because time has gone on. Now we're at 20 past 11 already. We missed a hymn out. You've had me preaching for over 20 minutes already, but I'm not going to press on any further. We've been held here this morning. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend? Have you got a friend like him? Always with you. You might move, he never does. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, now here's a prayer. This is a daring prayer. You've got to be very brave to pray this prayer. Oh, make me thine forever. And should I fainting, waning be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee. Now, I tell you, that's a daring prayer because what he's praying is this. If my love for you starts to wane, take me. Take me to glory. I don't want to outlive my love for you. My life ought to be a sacrifice given over. My reasonable service in the light of the mercies of God, I ought to offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. It's my reasonable duty, my reasonable service in the light of the gospel. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. But is my life really that? It will only be that if I'm still in love with him. Do I love him? Am I lost in wonder, love, and praise? Well, there's Mary and Joseph's response to what Simeon has to say. They're things they'd heard before, but they still marvel. They are lost in wonder. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 tells us this about Jesus. His name shall be wonderful. He truly is wonderful. Do I still recognize that? When Manoah is told that his wife is going to give birth to the one who will become, who will be Samson, they're amazed at this news. And as the angel is speaking to them, Manoah says, "Oh, tell me your name. Why do you ask my name?" Because it's the angel of the Lord. It's a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus himself, the Prince of Glory, the Darling of Heaven. Why do you ask my name? My name is Wonderful. My friend, I ask myself this question in concluding this morning. I ask you the question, is he wonderful to you? If he is, I can sing with all my heart, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And my life will demonstrate if that's the truth or a lie. Is he dominating all things? Alistair Begg often says, the main things are the plain things. The plain things are the main things. Let's hold to the plain things, which are the main things, and let the little things fade into the background. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a brief time in your word. You held us this morning on something very, very precious, that Jesus is truly wonderful. The triune God in triune splendor, truly wonderful. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. May our lives declare that we love him altogether, that he is everything to us. May we be changed from glory into glory. May our love for him ever be growing and never waning, always waxing, never waning. May we shine as the midday sun to the glory of God, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a hymn that was written in the revivals. It's a beautiful hymn. In our hymn book, there are only two verses, but in this version, there are four verses. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember. Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. Let's sing this with love in our hearts to the glory of God. Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Do meet us, if you can, at 12 o'clock on Zoom.